Well, before I get started, if y'all would, just if everybody would just close their book for a second. Just close your book. And before I get started, I want to thank Taylor and Talia and the pastoral staff for giving me this opportunity to teach tonight. It's always a privilege to be able to share God's word. And I've watched Taylor do this, and she's doing a phenomenal job. She's an amazing leader. She's an amazing woman of God. I've got to know her the past couple years, and she doesn't get much recognition. If y'all will give Taylor a round of applause. So everybody got their book closed? I see a couple of them open. That's okay. Got two questions. I want to ask y'all a question. Number one, why do we need to spend time with God? Do what? Good. Anybody else? Why do we need to spend time with God? Do what? Who else? Anybody else? Robbie? That's right. Hey, that's really good. Anybody else? That's very good, Alicia. Number two, why do we need to do that consistently? To build a relationship. Why is building this relationship so important to do consistently? That he'll go closer to you. What else? Life is hard. That's good. Do what now? Our discipleship. Where was that at? What did you say? That's very good. Consistency is key in so many areas of our life. And that's what I want to talk about today is the power of plugging in, why it's so important, why we do it consistently, why God asks us to do these things. If you go ahead and open your book back up now. There's a quote by Rick Warren, and the quote says, God has a part in our spiritual growth, and we also have a part. See, it is a partnership in spiritual growth. Just like in planting and being a garden, there is a partnership. The planter, the gardener, has to plant it. He has to water it, and it will grow. There's a partnership. The seed has to do its part, and the gardener has to do its part. God has a part in our spiritual growth, and we also have a part. He provides the power, but we must flip the switch. We must work out our own salvation, for it is God who works in us. See, I understand this very, very well because of where I've been in my life. And if you look at Matthew 5 and 13, it says, let me tell you why you are here. What he's talking about is why are, not in this class, he's saying, let me tell you why you're here on earth. Let me tell you why I created you, why you have a purpose, and why I have called you. He says, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Has anybody ever eaten an old bland piece of meat that has no seasoning on it? I know Chris Henson has because that's the only way he knows how to cook. I've seen pictures of his steak and they're terrible. It looks like it was cooked in a microwave, but that's okay, Chris. I'll cook for you next weekend, buddy. But you can definitively tell a difference in a cut of meat or vegetables if one has been seasoned and one has not. And I'm moving on now. Follow me. It says, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and it will end up in the garbage. So when we lose our saltiness, when we lose the flavor of God, he says that our life will end up in the garbage. I can assure you, and Chris, I'm going to pick on you, if I'd have went and eat steak with him the other night, mine would have probably ended up in the garbage because it did look like it was cooked in the microwave. I'm sorry, Chris. I'll give you some pointers soon. See, there was a time in my life that my life had no salt at all. It was bland. I thought it was spicy. I thought it had seasoning, and it did, but it was salted and seasoned with the wrong thing. See, I was plugged into a power source that was creating death in my life. I was plugged into a power source that destroyed my family. It destroyed my reputation. It destroyed relationships with my parents, relationship with friends, relationship with women, with jobs and everything, because I was plugged in to the wrong source. See, this is what my life looked like for a little while. I was this lamp. And I was here. I had the potential to shine, but my power source was plugged into the wrong thing. See, when we plug into the right thing, the power supplies the light, and all we got to do is access the power. And when we access the power, it instantly comes on. When we turn it off, it goes off. When we turn it on, it comes on. This switch represents us accessing the power of God in a spiritual sense as we go through this. See, the first portion of my life, I lived for Justin. I was a good old boy, had lots of friends who I thought were my friends, had lots of fun in a sense. I made lots of money. I did lots of good things, but I was plugged into a source that was creating death in my life, and I didn't know it. And I brought all of this junk into a marriage, and a lot of y'all know my story. I brought into a marriage thinking that I was a good guy. I was a good husband because I did this and I did that and I marked off the checklist. But yet I was still plugged into the wrong power source, and it ended up 10 years of being married to my wife in a divorce. And yes, we are restored now. I'm back married to my wife, the one that I divorced. And the single thing that changed my path was this right here. I sat on my front porch and said, God, I am tired of doing things Justin's way. I'm tired of being plugged into something that's creating death to me. I said, give me life, and I turned on the switch. And the instant I turned on the switch and made the choice to begin to do the things I needed to get to know God the right way, my life began to align. I began to draw power. I began to see life in a darkness that the world told me it was over. The world told me your marriage is done. The courts told me you're no longer divorced. You're no longer married. Now she's single. Now you're single. But in God's eyes, he wasn't done with me. And he knew if I ever understood the power of this switch, that he would use me to move mountains. And he would use me to change lives. And that life, the first life that he would change would be mine. And when I grasped that aspect and I began to apply it, I'm fixing to take you on a journey of where my life is now. See, when I began to get plugged in, I sat on my porch and I said, all right, God, I have no clue what I'm doing. I was a youth pastor at one time. I served in the church. My brother's been a senior pastor for 15 years. My dad was a pastor. I was raised in the church. I stayed in the church. But we could fill this room full of lamps. That does not mean that there's light in this room. You got to access the power. You can live your whole life in church and be powerless. You can live your whole life in church and be ineffective. And I was. Like I said, I was a youth pastor. I looked the part. I could speak the part. But the problem was I only knew facts about Jesus. I didn't K-N-O-W Jesus. There's a difference between knowing relational and knowing facts. I knew enough facts to get me through the day, but behind closed doors, I didn't even have saltiness. I had no flavor. I was wondering why I couldn't make an impact. I was wondering why I couldn't get ahead financially. I was wondering why I couldn't get ahead relationally. I was wondering why all of these things in my life was falling apart, and it's because I had no flavor. No flavor. But when you walk into a room full of lamps and you turn the first one on, it begins to break darkness. One flicker of light will instantly break darkness. Then you turn on another lamp, and then you turn on another lamp, and you consistently turn on lamps and it'll light a room. You consistently plug yourself into the church, to reading the word, to prayer, and to worship, and the lights of your life will begin to come on. I started in the youth. I just said, okay, stick me over in youth. I've done that before. I served in youth for a little while. Then I went to Starting Point. Then they let me, for some reason, give me a golf cart and let me buzz around this campus, which I loved. I still try to get them every once in a while, but they won't let me have them. So I buzzed around the parking lots, picked people up, got to know people, and then all of a sudden they said, okay, well, why don't you serve in Starting Point? I began to serve in Starting Point. I went through some groups. I went through Essentials and some other groups. And then Pastor Stephen came to me and he said, hey, I want you to teach a spiritual warfare class. I said, okay. In this room with about eight guys right here. Matt, you remember. He was part of it. About eight guys right here. I taught a spiritual warfare class. And from that, I began to plug in and do everything God has called me to do. And I can assure you, if you was to look at what my life looks like now, what God's doing, he has done a miraculous work in my life, and it has absolutely nothing to do with me except for access to power. I do not have the ability to do what I'm doing on my own accord. This is all Jesus. But that's all the power source that I need. That's all the power source that you need. And that applies to anything that you're dealing with in your life. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to pray. Gracious Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you are a power source that doesn't run out. I thank you, God, that you are a power source that is sufficient for every area of our life, Father. I thank you that the power of your blood that covered us was powerful enough to release us from sin. I thank you, God, that the power we get through prayer and worship is enough to get us, not just through the day, but to empower us in all that we do, Father. God, I ask that you anoint these clay lips, that the words that are coming out of my mouth, Father, are of you, and they breathe your life, and that you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's get going this morning. So why do I need to spend time with God? Number one, you ready up there, Chris? To get to know him more. And like we just talked about, K-N-O-W, know. Not statistically, not that you know, yeah, I know he died on the cross, and I know he was resurrected, and I know he had 12 disciples, and I know this, and I know he was 33 when he went on the cross, and, you know, all of this, and I know he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, and all of these other things. Those are great. I'm talking about relationship. When you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the ground, who do you talk to? When your feet hit the ground, who does your relationship start with? Does it start with Jesus, that you know him, that he is the provider of your day, or is he a statistic to you just enough to mark him off of a checklist? Kind of like my wife, the reason I know everything about my wife is because I spend time with her all the time. We have three kids. We don't get to go do nothing. We're together all the time. But I know so much about her, and she knows so much about me, and it's because we spend time with each other. If you only spent 1 hour a week with your wife, how good would you know her? You wouldn't, would you, brother? So why do we think we can spend an hour a week with Jesus and expect to know him like God's calling us to know him and have power? Number two, to become more like him. What? To become more like, you mean I can become like Jesus? Sure you can. The closer we draw, the closer my wife draws to me, the crazier she gets. And it's because God made me half crazy. So the closer she draws to me, I rub off on her. She's turning into me and she don't even know it. Before you know it, Robbie, you're going to have purple hair. You keep spending all your time with Autumn because you become like who you're around. That's the reason the pastor says, give me your top five friends and I'll show you your future. It's true. Show me your top five friends and I'll show you your future. Show me how much time you spend with Jesus and how close of a friend he is and I'll show you your power. Number three, to be refreshed and strengthened. And go ahead and do number four. I want to combine these. To become empowered to live for him. Live for him. Remember, this is all about God. So to be refreshed and strengthened and to become empowered. We daily need to be refreshed and strengthened, because if not, it would be like us waking up on a Monday morning, putting a quarter tank of gas in our car and trying to drive back and forth to Nacogdoches every day for a week. It's not going to happen. You got to fill it up. If you're going to put a quarter of a tank in there, you got to put a quarter of a tank in there every single day. So what I'm getting at is that we have to absorb power through prayer like a sponge. Because what does a sponge do? A sponge absorbs and it expels. It absorbs and it expels. So if you're absorbing Jesus on a daily basis, when your troubles come in your life and you need power, you get to expel the power of Jesus. If you got an old dry sponge, you just got an old dry sponge. There's no power to expel. So you can't be strengthened. You can't be refreshed. You can't be empowered if you're not absorbing the Word of God on a daily basis. The First 15 is one of the greatest apps I've seen to date. It gives you 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of worship, and 5 minutes of a song. Right, Taylor? Yes. The First 15. It's 5 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of prayer, and a song. Right. It's a devotional. You can download it on your phone. It's called The First 15. It's a great starting place. When I spend 5 minutes with my wife when we were dating, it made me want to spend 10 minutes. Then it made me want to spend 15. It's the same way with Jesus. The more time you spend getting to know Jesus and realizing who you are in Him and who He is over you, you're going to want to spend more time with Him. And because you're going to become more like Him. Moving on. So how can I do this? How can I spend time with God? Three ways. Through prayer, through worship, through reading the Bible. We just talked about that, the First 15. Prayer, worship, and reading the Bible. We're going to talk about what prayer here is in a little bit, but don't think that prayer is a complex language or conversation. It's just talking like I'm talking to y'all. That's it. Worship. Worship's easy. It's just giving God praise. That's all. Just don't overcomplicate it. Worship's giving God praise. Even when things are tough, give Him praise. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. And then reading the Word. I love to cook. Love it. My food's good, unlike Chris Henson's. I love you, Chris, I do. I love to cook, as you can tell. I didn't get this at the gym. I got this because I love to cook. But I love recipes. All right, I may lose my man card, but I love Pinterest, guys. And I love recipes off of Pinterest. You watch it, Chris. Yes, I love Pinterest because of the recipes. Here's the thing. I have to read it and add all the ingredients. I can't get just a portion of it and try to make it. Well, that's the same thing with reading the Bible. You can't just get a little bit of the Bible here and a little bit of the Bible there and expect it to make sense. You've got to read the whole thing. If I don't read the whole recipe, my food will taste like Chris's. But when I read the whole recipe, my food tastes good like mine. Like Betty Crocker. Like Martha Stewart good. Like Food Network good. Like Chop Champion good. That's what the Bible does for you. When you read the Bible, it comes to life. It brings Jesus to life. It's the most amazing, interesting book you'll ever read. Ever. It's the most downloaded book and the most bought book ever, most sold book ever. And there's a reason for it. It's because there is life in them pages. Moving on. Prayer. Why do we need to spend time with God consistently? Well, number one is He tells us to pray. Not a commandment, but He tells us to do this. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray continually. It doesn't say pray, every once in a while it says continually. What is continually? It means nonstop. It's a revolving door. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're going to touch base on that in all circumstances here in a little bit. But I want y'all to highlight that, underline it, make a star by it, circle it, rip it out of your book and tape it to something. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Number two, prayer is the way we communicate with God. The way I talk to my wife, I don't text her and FaceTime her. We do, but not when I want to talk to my wife. I turn the phones off, I turn the football off, turn Steven Seagal off, and I talk to my wife face to face every night before we go to bed. We're going to talk. We may not talk about things that we want to talk about, but we're going to talk. We're going to communicate. That is how I get to know my wife. Well, prayer is the way we get to know God, because when we pray, heaven's gates open up and God hears you. It does not fall on deaf ear. He hears the prayers of His children. He absorbs them. He's there with you. And the more we pray, the more we communicate, the closer we draw to God. It says to pray and talk with God from your heart. Pray and talk with God from your heart. Huh. What does that mean? I'm going to give y'all a secret. God knows what's in your heart, so you ain't going to fool him. For 35 years, I tried to fool him. I tried to make God believe that I was good. He created me. He knows y'all. You're not hiding nothing from him. You might as well be honest with him and go ahead and get through what you're dealing with, because there is freedom in truth. There is freedom in prayer. There is freedom in the presence of God. And so when you pray, talk to him from your heart. He's big enough to deal with your anger, with your greed, with your malice. He's big enough to deal with your joy, your happiness, your lustfulness, whatever it is, your dissension, your addictions. He's big enough to deal with it. I promise. I've been mad at God on several different occasions, and guess what? He was big enough to deal with my little anger issues. He's big enough to deal with anything that you're dealing. He knows your heart. So if he knows your heart, why do we hold on to so much and not let God have it? Why don't we say, I'm struggling with this, Dad? He calls himself Abba Father, which is Daddy God. So Dad, I'm struggling with this. I feel like this. I can't help it that I feel like this. Help me in this. What do I need to do? And I promise you, the answer to the questions you're seeking are in the Word of God. That's the reason why reading the Bible is so important. But what a concept it is that we get to communicate with the Creator. He deems us so important that we get to communicate with the one that designed us. That's pretty powerful. Number three, to tap into his power and to receive his help. To do what? Tap into his power and receive his help. Tap into his power and receive his help. Tap into it, we get help. It's a simple process. You tap into it, we get his help. Luke 9 and 11 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. There is something key I want you to know. This is not a prosperity verse. This doesn't mean knock and I'll give you a pot of gold, seek and I'll give you that new truck, ask and I'll give you that new house. It's talking about the presence of God. He's saying, you know what? If you ask for me, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, I'll open. I'll give you access to me. And he says, if you ask, I'll give you me. He's talking about his presence. And what more valuable to us is the presence of God? Nothing. It's the most valuable commodity that we can have is being in the presence of the Creator. And he says right here, through prayer, I'll give you power and help and all the things that you ask. Well, if you ask for me and you seek me, you'll find me. Moving on, the power and purpose of praise and worship. And this right here is where it starts getting good for me. The definition of worship, now I want y'all to hear this. The definition of worship is adoration, extreme devotion, or intense love or admiration. Sounds like some of you football fans or baseball fans or select team fans or volleyball fans, whatever. Fans. Car fans for like people like Robbie. Worship is the reasonable, heartfelt response of those who have known God's grace and value him above anything else. I want to focus on that right there. Value him above anyone or anything else. This is the reason why worship is designed for God. Because God is the only one worthy of our true worship. When we worship anything else in place of God, it takes the place of God. Hear me on that. Anytime we worship something over God, it takes the place of God. That's called idolatry. Now it's become an idol. And I'm not going to go down that road, but think about that. That's the reason why worship is designed for him. The reason why the angels spend majority of their time worshiping him is because he is the only one worthy of our worship. He is the only one worthy of our true adoration, our extreme devotion, and our intense love. He's the only one that can accept it and take your worship and you benefit from it. I love my wife and I praise my wife, but I don't worship my wife. My wife is not my God. And she knows I'll say this to anybody. I can live without her. Don't want to. Love her dearly. But if I had to, I could. I can't live without Jesus. My life is useless and worthless and garbage without Jesus Christ. So that's where my worship has to lie. Psalms 22 and 3, it says, God inhabits the praise of his people. So when you praise and worship God, he inhabits it. He hears it. He gets it. So ways to worship God. Worship God together with other Christians. Psalms 95, it says, let us sing. Let us shout. Let us come before his presence. Let us worship. Let us kneel. And let us bow. Basically, you want to worship God. There's all types of forms, from kneeling to bowing to raising your hands to, there is no right or wrong way to worship God is what they're saying. As long as you're worshiping him with a correct heart, condition of heart, there's no wrong or right way to worship. Worship God alone when no one else is around. Find your place. My place is in my car at 5 o'clock in the morning when I'm driving to work to Nacogdoches from Huntington. That's a 38-minute trip. That's my place. That's my place where nobody's calling me, nobody's messing with me, my phone's not beeping, nothing's going on, and I can freely praise and worship Jesus and talk to my daddy before I get to work, and it sets the precedence and the foundation of my whole day. Find your place of worship where nobody else can interfere, where your kids can't interfere, your job can't interfere, your husband can't interfere, your phone, social media, and any other distraction. Number three, worship God verbally. And then number four, worship God physically. And number five, we are to worship God in spirit. And I'm going to tie these three together. We worship God verbally, and that's worshiping with our mouth. I'm fixing to tell you the power of worshiping God verbally is when you are under, when the things in your life don't look like you think they ought to, when things are tough, you go to giving God praise and watch mountains move. If you praise him in these storms, if you praise him when you're not on the mountaintop and you're in the valley, that's when mountains move. You go look at a mountain range, the only thing on top of the mountain is snow. But you go down in a valley and it's plush green grass and vegetation. You want to know why? Everything grows in the valley. So when we're in the valley and things are tough and the finances aren't there and you're struggling at home with your wife, and you don't understand why you can't get healing over here, and you don't understand why this is happening at work or why your mama's sick or why this is happening or why your kid, go to worshiping God. Go to giving him pure worship in the tough times and watch mountains move in your life. It's condition of heart. See, Jesus understood this when he talks about worshiping God physically, and it's called position of purpose. See, Jesus in the garden, when he was fixing to go to the cross, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was on his knees by himself. Blood was dripping out of his pores. He was on his knees in the most vulnerable state that he could be. He was all the way on his knees with his head in the dirt. They could have come up there and cut his head off. He was in such a vulnerable position, but he was at the most powerful place he could have been in because he was at the foot of his Father. And the prayer he was praying wasn't a jolly prayer. He said, if there's any way this cup can pass, let it be. But if not, what? Thy will be done. If there's any other way that we can get through this storm, if there's any other way we can get through this divorce, if there's any other way we can get through this, through my children, if there's any other way we can get through this financial problem, if there's any other way we can get through cancer, if there's any other way we can get through our problems in our life, let it be, he says, but let your will be done. If there's another way, show me, but ultimately, let your will be done. He understood the power of prayer. He was on his knees with his head dug in the sand, praying to his Father. And that was the most vulnerable state he could be in, physically. but the most powerful place he could be, because he was at the foot of his Father. And when we learn to get at the foot of our Father in prayer, that's where we get our power. That's where mountains begin to move. That's where clarity begins to show up in our life, and we begin to see things from a different perspective. We begin to see things in spiritual eyes instead of physical eyes. See, Jesus saw the cross through spiritual eyes. Had to. No way I could have done it. No way. If my dad would ask me to do it, and I said, look, Dad, I'm sorry. There's no way I can get on that cross for all of these people. There's no way. Jesus knew he had a purpose and a calling. And even Jesus prayed. So if he prayed, it's a pretty good inclination that that's something that we need to apply in our life daily, correct? Number five, we are to worship God in spirit. John 4 and 24 says, God is sheer being itself spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits and their true selves. In adoration, it's from your spirit. It's from your. It's not just this physical act where people can see it. It is a true devotion and a true adoration. When we pray from our spirit, when we worship God in spirit, that's when we are at our most transparent form, where we're really pouring out the things to God, and He can see anyway. But where we're really saying, here I am. And when we do this, and we get in these vulnerable states with God, physically, verbally, emotionally, that's where power comes from. So what is the purpose of praise and worship? Number one, to thank God for who he is and all he has done. Everybody in here underneath the sound of my voice has a reason to praise God today. You want to know why? You woke up this morning. I'm sure most of you eat breakfast. I'm sure most of you eat lunch. You're here. You're healthy enough to be here. I doubt many of y'all walked here in the rain. All right? You've got air conditioning. You've got lights. You've got a beautiful building around you. We are blessed. Yet we want to look at our lives, and we want to look at what God hasn't done, and we want to gripe about that versus thanking him for what he's already done. See, when my kids are beginning to learn me, when they go to praising Daddy for all that he does, it opens up my giving to more. But when they come and say, Daddy, Daddy, why ain't I got this? Why ain't I got that? And they cannot even focus on the sacrifice that's already been made and what they already have in abundance, I close off. I say, well, if you can't appreciate that, you'll never be able to appreciate that. That's the same thing with God. To thank God for who he is and all he has done. When we tell Jesus, you know what? Thank you for all that you've done and all that you are, even though I'm in this circumstance. Thank you. Thank you for loving me when I couldn't love myself. Thank you for exactly where I'm at. Jesus loves every one of y'all in here exactly where you are, and that is a blessing. That's a blessing. That is something to praise God about. It says, I praise him simply because he is God and there is no one else like him. Who created us? Who blesses us? Who else or what else could we worship that comes close to God? No one and nothing. Nothing. There's nothing in our life that can come close to what God has done in your life as of right now. Nothing. Nothing can even compare. There's no job. There's no promotion. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of health. There's not a big enough house, a fast enough car, a big enough truck, a big enough boat. None of those things. There's not a beautiful enough wife and successful kid. None of those things can compare to what God has done in your life right now, because he has breathed life into us and he has given us the opportunity for eternal life. All that other junk's gonna go away one day. That boat and job's not gonna get you nowhere. That house ain't gonna get you nowhere. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, well, that'll get you eternity. And I don't know about y'all, but I wanna spend eternity walking on streets of gold. And I wanna know about the one that has provided that for me. And I'm going to do that through prayer. And I'm going to do that through worship. And I'm going to do that by being plugged in, because I want my power source to shine. I want people to see the light of Jesus in my life. I don't want it to be covered up. I don't want to look like darkness and death walking around. I want to be contagious for the Lord and contagious for what God has done in my life. If Jesus never did nothing else for me in my life, I have no reason to complain, because I have eternal life with the Father. Number two, it says to get your eyes on Him and off your troubles. Well, we keep saying this, don't we? To get your eyes on Him and off your troubles. When we take our focus and put it on Jesus, and we start telling our problems who our God is instead of telling our problems or telling God what our problems are, that's where power comes from. When you go to looking at your problems saying, well, hang on a second. My God is Jesus Christ, the one that created this all. And so this problem doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my Father, because that's what His Word says. His Word says to lay down my burden, take up His yoke, because it's light and easy. I don't have to fight this battle. It's already been won through my Father, because I'm a child of the Most High God. And if I'm a child of the Most High God, that means I'm victorious, because God says He's victorious. He's already defeated death, correct? And so if God's defeated, if Jesus has defeated death, that means that I'm victorious through Him. So I don't have to fight and ask permission from the devil to be victorious. I'm already victorious. So why am I griping about my problems? I'm not going to ask my problems permission to be joyful. I'm going to tell my problems, hey, here's my God. You deal with it, because you can't eat me. The worst thing my problems can do is get me sent to glory. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go. My wife has a life insurance. She may be pushing me to the edge. I don't know. That'll be fine. So the worst thing that my problems can do is send me to glory. So why do I walk around in fear? Because the enemy makes you think that your problems are bigger than you, and he's right, because they are bigger than you. But they're not bigger than your God. And when we see that our problems aren't bigger than our God, and we can see that our problems can be dealt with through Him, are already victorious through Him, we walk a victorious life no matter what we're dealing with. Correct? Amen? All right, come on. Number three, to feel His presence and learn more about Him. To feel His presence and learn more about Him. I don't know about y'all, but the presence of God is one of the most soothing, peaceful things that I've ever experienced. To know that when you're in the presence of the Most High God, and I can imagine Jesus in the garden, and He knows He's fixing to go through the worst death you can imagine. But I also have to know that because He was in the presence of His Father and the presence of His Dad, that there was peace in the midst of this storm. And He displayed that on the cross. I mean, He's hanging on the cross, and He tells God to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's peace. That's power. That power comes from the Father. That same power that Jesus was able to access on the cross, guess what? It's the same power and presence that we have residing in us in the Holy Spirit. We have that we have the ability to obtain that peace through power, through prayer and worship. And number four, to defeat the enemy and his plans for your life. See, the enemy had a plan for my life, and it was pure destruction. He wanted me to bust hell wide open. He wanted me to be in a divorce. He wanted my kids to be raised in a broken home. He wanted me to keep battling with that drug addiction. He wanted me to remain a drunkard and an alcoholic, because I was a bad one. He wanted me to continuously fight my battles in anger and in flesh. He wanted me to live a life full of death. Because if he could get me separated from the goodness of God, he wouldn't have to worry about me no more. If he could get me over here in this corner, get me doubting my life, get me feeling sorry for myself, and get me unfocused on my blessings and focused on what was wrong in my life, he thought he could bring death. But see, Jesus had a different plan. See, Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundant. Jesus had a different plan, And one thing had to happen. Right here. And I know I've done this, but there's so much power in that. That right there is all it took to break the darkness in my life. One choice to begin to pray and to begin to worship. And I did this on the front porch of my trailer when I wasn't back with my wife. They were still living in another house. And I began to say, all right, God, I do know this much what I learned. I learned how to pray. I know how to worship you. And I know how to spend time with you. And I'm going to start with that right there. He did the rest. My prayers, my worship, and my reading of the word defeated the enemy and the plans that he had for my life. That's amazing to me. He defeated my financial situation through giving. I mean, I have a part in that. And so God said, just put me first in it. And I said, okay, I'm going to. Man, they can't take anything else. I blew my truck up. I don't have a house no more. They can't take nothing from me. My credit was like negative 14 or something. And so I said, okay, well, they can't hurt me no more. So you know what? I'm going to start trusting you with my finances. And you know what, guys? I was able to let I worked three jobs. I worked myself to the bone. I work one job now, 4 days a week, and I have more money than I ever have. Now, I'm not sitting here selling you a financial plan. All I'm telling you is that when I plugged even that into God's equation, it worked for me. And then when I said, all right, God, you designed her for me. Show me what it takes to get my wife back. I began to seek God. And I didn't know it, but on the other side of this thing, she was seeking God. So God's at the top where he's always at. I'm seeking God. My wife's seeking God. Or she was my ex-wife at the time. And before you know it, we're up here at the church looking at each other, standing on the stage, and I'm proposing to her. You want to know why? Because I prayed, I worshiped, I plugged in, and I seek God. That applies to every aspect of our life. If you look in 2 Chronicles, and I don't have time to read this whole thing, all right, but this right here is one of the coolest stories to me in the Bible. I love the stories of Jehoshaphat. This one right here actually trips me out. I'm going to kind of just set the pretense. What it is he's sitting there looking at all these armies that he cannot defeat. So what does Jehoshaphat do? He said, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, position of purpose, just like we talked about with Jesus a while ago. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That's all you need to know. The rest of it basically says that God put a boy band together. If you read it, this is how interesting the Bible is. He put a boy band together, like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, something like that. They probably didn't have skinny jeans and stuff on, and Converse, whatever boy bands dress like. I don't think they dress like this. But he put a boy band together, and he said, go out there and praise and worship me. And he annihilated the armies, turned the armies against you, annihilate them. They didn't have to lift a finger. All they had to do was sing, praise, and worship, and prayer. That's it. That's all they had to do. He used a boy band to defeat these huge armies. Jesus will use a boy band to defeat the armies that are knocking on your door if you will plug into him. Jehoshaphat knew that. He said, you know, whoa, yes, Lord. What was that? My mic just kicked up. It may not have been on the whole time. I don't know. He said, yes, Lord. He said, I can't go do this. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the one thing I know how to do. I'm going to get on my face, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to worship you. And God said, okay, get the boy band together. Y'all go out there and sing you a number, and I'll take care of the rest of it. And not only did he defeat the enemies, but it took them 3 days to get all the riches off of them. So not only did he defeat them, he used them to finance Jehoshaphat's army. That's reverse economics if I've ever seen it. Used a boy band to defeat the army. Then God said, now you go down there. I'm going to finance the rest of this venture for y'all. You get it, come back home. And when you get home, I'm going to give you rest. So through prayer, through worship, they defeated armies. Had the armies defeated for them. They got 3 days worth of jewels and gold, you know, of their spoils. of all their good stuff, financed them, and then he gave them a vacation. That is the same God that we serve. It's the same one that's living and residing inside of us. It's the same one that if we will turn this switch on and leave it on, that his power will source through us. And not only will his power run through you, brother, but it'll fill up, and then it'll run over to your wife. And then it'll run over to your best friend. And then it'll run over to your nephew. And it'll run over to your sister. And then it'll run over to your mama. And it'll run over to your babies. Jay, it'll run over to your kids. Ashley, it'll run over to your kids. That's what happens when we allow the power of Jesus Christ. See, this light is not contained inside of this. If we was to turn all the lights off in this room, all of y'all could still see this light glowing. Imagine if this there was two of them and then three of them. And if they were bigger and stronger like these, and now we have a whole room lit. Imagine if you start plugging in and praying and praising God and worshiping God and seeking God, and it runs over into your wife, then it runs over to your kids, and before you know it, your family is making an impact in the community. Before you know it, you got power. Before you know it, you're not just walking around in a church dead. Before you know it, you're making an impact, and the crackhead on the side of the street corner that is desperate for Jesus, that Jesus loves as much as he loves us, says, there's something special about her. I can see the light of Jesus shining through her. And God gives you the opportunity to say, well, let me tell you about my Father. Let me tell you about plugging in. Let me tell you about a church that I love you right where you're at. That's the power of prayer, praise, and worship. It ain't in the Bible just to overlook. It's there because it is our power source. It is what makes us click. It is what gets us through the day. It's what fills our tank up. And I don't know about you, but I've had lots of powerful drugs, alcohol, ideas, perceptions running through my body that left me empty and dead. But when I tapped into the source of Jesus Christ, and I allowed Jesus Christ to be my light, and I allowed him to be my electricity, and I allowed him to be my source, it began to spill over into my kids, and it began to spill over into my mother. 2 months ago, I preached a sermon in a small church in Priscilla, Texas, right outside of Grapevine, watching my niece get baptized, and I hugged my mama's neck for the first time in 15 years. Hadn't seen her, hadn't talked to her, had no relationship with her. 15, she didn't even know my kids. God restored it. You don't know why? Because me and my brother were praying. We were praying for my mama. We were praying for God's will, and God's will was for restoration in that. And I seen her. Now she has a relationship. I talked to her on the way over here today, and she said, son, I'm proud of you. This is my mother, my biological mama. If I didn't know how to pray, and I didn't worship God, and I had my energy source plugged into the wrong thing, guess what? It would never happen. But because I decided to let Jesus Christ reside in my life, it's overflowed in my life, into my wife's, my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law got saved the next Sunday. Amen. Drug addict, in and out of suicide watch, in and out of abusive relationships. If you knew her story, it would make you cringe. And I was preaching in Alto, and she walked down and received Jesus Christ and said, I feel the Holy Spirit in my life. You want to know why? Because her daughter was praying for her. It's because my wife decided to turn her light on and say, you know what? You know what, God? I'm going to let you be my power source. And it restored our family, and it's restoring her family, and it's pouring over in her mama, her aunts, my nieces, my nephews, and it's pouring over into the church. If the church wouldn't have poured into me and I wouldn't have plugged into the church, where would I be? You are the church. Plug in. Receive the power of Jesus Christ through prayer, praise, and worship, and find victory in your life. There's a video we're fixing to watch, and I watched this video today, guys, and this is a powerful video. It's Bill Hypel. Kick it on there, Chris. Class, where's your chair? like I said, mine's in my little car at 5 o'clock in the morning on the way to work. We all have an opportunity. We all have a chair somewhere in our life. Where's your chair? I encourage you that if you don't have a chair in your life, to find that chair, to find that time to spend with Christ. It's the most valuable, returnable investment you'll ever make. That's an investment that returns tenfold every time. As when you invest your life in the kingdom and you begin to seek out the Creator. Where's your chair? I'll close y'all in prayer. Gracious Father, I just thank you. God, I thank you that you designed everything so perfectly. And God, that you designed worship, you designed prayer, and you designed it for us to find you, to know you more, to be empowered by you, to hear from you, to draw closer to you, God. And God, the amazing thing about you is the closer we draw to you, the closer you draw to us, and the more empowered we become, and the brighter our light shines. God, I pray, Father, that everybody that's underneath the sound of my voice tonight, I pray, God, that their light begins to shine bright. Father, I pray that your presence falls upon them, that they find their chair. I pray, God, that they begin to seek through prayer, through worship, through song, through reading the word, a true relationship with the Most High God. Father, I ask your protection over them. I ask that you go with them tonight as they go home. Thank you for their dedication, Father. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to stand up here and to be your vessel. God, I just ask that you be with us for the remainder of this week, Father. And we thank you for all the many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.